So I wanted to go through all the makos. What happened during Mitzrayim? So if you look through the Pesukim, it really doesn't... It doesn't give you, like, everything. It just tells you, like, the little bits and pieces of what was going on throughout the parsha. But let's just look at what has happened. It says, V'yomer Shema Moshe, etc. Kach matzalun teyat ha'omim Mitzrayim. Take your matzah. Spread it out over all the rivers in Mitzrayim. On Arosam ha'yorim ha'olagmayim. And everything that was there, v'al kol mikvei mayim. You dumb, and it'll be blood by Adam Bakalar Mitzrayim, and the blood will be everywhere in Mitzrayim, Uva Eitzin, Uva Avanim, and in the wood and in the stones. Strange. There's no reason to say that the wood and the stones. I mean, if the blood hit the wood and the stones, that's one thing. But for it to say and in the wood and in the stones, very, very strange thing.
If it rained, did it rain blood on the
Egyptians? Doesn't rain in Egypt. Doesn't rain in Egypt. That's why Bard was such a crazy thing. It never rains in Mitzrayim. So I've got a lot of little stuff over here. First of all, why did Dam happen in the first place? I have seven reasons. Number one, because the God of Egypt was aside from the sheep, the Nile River. So that's number one. So they wanted to knock down the God of Mitzrayim. Number two, they threw kids in
the
Nile River. So they wanted to make sure that the Nile River got knocked down. Number three, B'nai Yisrael were told to the Yidgu Laro that they were going to be like fish and multiply like many. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show Paro that they were multiplying like many because he had punished them. So therefore, he killed the fish. And he wanted the fish to see that just like you were trying to kill fish, but the fish still multiply. So too, B'nai Yisrael was going to multiply. Number four, he didn't allow them to go to the mikvah. B'nai Yisrael were not allowed to go to the mikvah for the wives to be together with their husbands. They weren't allowed to be together. Number five, Paro bathed in kids' blood. You ever heard that medrash? 150 kids? This Haggadah, by the way, is by far the absolute best. It's called the King Haggadah. By far the best. That's right there. It's the blood. This page. You know what they used to have in this page before they took it all down? This Haggadah beforehand? Oh, yeah. Bathing in blood is Paro's 150 kids, what they had in the old. I mean, aside from the fact that they have guys sitting in the hieroglyphics with blood coming out of the heads and everything like that, they used to have in the older Haggadah, there was a pile of children's bones right there to make it more graphic. They took it away and changed everything.
Yeah. This one had the muscles borrowed, that crazy picture.
They have everything. This is the whole thing. Like them screaming and everything. No, Shekhin is by far the worst. Shekhin is the worst. I mean, that's the scariest picture you've ever seen. No, but it's by far the best. We'll get to Shekhin. Don't worry. As of right now, no, I use it for myself. I don't give it over to them. That's number four. They didn't allow them. Number five, Paro bathed in kids' blood, so therefore they all had to drink blood. Number six, they spilled Jewish blood, therefore the river turned into blood. Number seven, he made them water carriers. So because they made them into water carriers, all the water turned into blood. Now, first, Dam is disgusting when you first see it. But when you get used to it, you can in theory drink it. You won't have any problem with it. You'll be able to drink it and drink it and drink it. The problem is, vayivosh, it became polluted. Because all the fish died, stunk up the entire river. The entire river became absolutely disgusting. Everything was overflowing with dung. Idol's blood. You see that little guy over there? They got the little blood coming from the idol. The idol's blood. Stones' blood. And that's what it means by Eitzim Uva'avanim. The stones were bleeding all over the place. The trees were bleeding. Any moisture in any object throughout all of Mitzrayim, whether it was in the trees, in the stones, in the ground, anywhere, everything was bleeding. Anything they slept on, anything they sat on, it was like they sat down in a pile of blood. Even the sweat that they had. I've got tons of things over here. Blood sprayed from beams of every Egyptian home. That's blood that came down. Blood spurted out of the dough that they were holding in their hands. Blood you guys are eating. That's right over there. Previously cooked food that they had turned bloody. Fruit juice became bloody. The Zohar says Mitzrayim drank from the blood, and their stomachs swelled, and then they burst. Salt water was still available, and that was the only thing they could drink. But have you ever had salt water? Have you ever drunk salt water? Don't. Massive dysentery, yeah, and then you end up dying. It's not a good idea. The Khartoumim couldn't do anything about it. They were filled with despair. They didn't know what to do, and they all became extremely depressed. Paro wasn't affected by the plague at all. He was the only person unaffected. He was able to buy enough water from the Jews. So he bought and bought and bought water. He had an unlimited supply of water, so he was unaffected whatsoever. The river took a long time for it to get back to normal. But it's still around. Worms filled up the water. I wrote over here, like New York water. I wrote this in 2006, so, in all day. Filled the entire land with puddles. The whole thing turned into disgusting. Spit and sweat turned into blood. Yael Gruvaini says that Paro had a palace that was in the river. This huge palace that was made on top of the river. When it turned into blood, the whole thing just sank down into the blood and was all gone. There's Machlokas Rishonim. The Panach Raza, the Das Zakenim. The Panach Raza and Das Zakenim are both Rishonim. They say that it looked like blood, but it tasted like water. But the fish died because it looked like blood. The fish died in it, and therefore they stink up the river. And the whole Mako was not because it was blood. It's because of stinky fish. That's the reason why it happened in the first place. The Maral Diskin argues because it says the right over here we had just read the pasuk the Yudam the Hayadam Becholaretz Mitzrayim. Says the Maral Diskin, it says no, it was blood. Not that it looked like blood, but it actually was blood. Another opinion brought down by the Moshe of Zakenim and the Chizkuni says it turned to dam for an hour, all the fish died, and then went back into water. But again, the water was so stinky, and that was all there. Moshe of Zakenim asked, and it's not makas dam, it's makas havasha, makas stinkiness. But either way, that's what you have for dam. That was a pretty good maka, right? That would knock people out for a little bit. 7 days of absolute thirst where you weren't drinking anything, and the only way for you to get any water is to go to the Jew. Sardea? We got it right over there. Look. See that little cup that the Jews turned into blood?
Why was buying water from the Jews?
Right over there. You just have to look at this. See the Egyptian? Once he gives over the coins over to that Jew and he takes it, it becomes water. This guy did everything. It's really unbelievable how many midrashim he's able to take in over here. The fruits that are blood, even the boros that they drip, everything. Everything is blood. Their sweat turned into blood. The reason why is because that when they handed over and they gave over the money, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Jews to become rich off this maka. That's exactly what happened. They all became rich off the maka, and that's how they were able to get everything. This really explains absolutely everything that you needed to know. Sardea. The Mitzrayim yelled at them a lot, so that Sardea started croaking, and the sound never stopped. They denied God publicly, so that Sardea made them say there is a God in the world. They made them collect bugs. The Jews had to collect bugs for the Mitzrayim, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the bugs, the Shrutzim, up against the Mitzrayim. What else? Oh, they didn't let them sleep or scream during childbirth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them scream during this maka. So here we go. Frogs are incessant croaking. They yelled out, you know what sound they make? Tanadabeleo. Say cuckoo. Cuckoo. I have absolutely no idea if that connects with the word cuckoo, you know, going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, if that's where it comes from. But Tanadabeleo says that's the sound that they come from, and they just went absolutely crazy. It's Machlokes, Rabbi Kiv, Rabbi Eliezer, that everybody knows. Was it one huge frog that hit the frog and it multiplied and just came out? Or was it one huge frog that came out and called out to all the other frogs? The reason why they get that and the reason why they say such a thing, it's all based on psukim, all these types of ideas. The reason why they said it is because by the Tzvardiyim, it says, bring up the Tzvardiyim al Eretz Mitzrayim, and then in Pasuk Ches, Perek Ches, Pasuk Beis, it says, Batal Hat Tzvardeya. The single frog got up. It was one huge frog, Batachas Eretz Mitzrayim, and it filled up all Mitzrayim, it covered up all Mitzrayim, either because all these other frogs came with, or because it called out to all the other frogs to come, so they were all there. Okay, so what happened with this whole thing? The Baal HaTurim adds in that there were killer snakes. And then Tziv, Rav Netzali Tziv in Berlin, says that there were crocodiles. Crocodiles that came in that were hungry because the fish all left, and they came out from the sea and started eating them. That's why you have a little alligator over here. That should be an alligator. It should have been a crocodile. It's all good. They're now crocodiles. There are no alligators that live in Mitzrayim. Poison dart frogs were there, and they don't have it in this picture over here. You ever seen a poison dart frog? They're little things. They look like they're fake. They're not. They're tiny little guys. They're extremely colorful. Unbelievable little creatures. Poison dart frogs. So whenever you touched it, you die. And these poison toads that also came along. They were all there. They were able to be there. The Amloids mentions lizards that you only can kill by shooting an arrow into their belly. If anybody's read The Hobbit, and refers to a dragon. If you haven't read The Hobbit, don't read it. It's not worth it. Because you just got the best part. They attacked Paro first. The frogs went up against Paro first. They went into the houses. They went into the houses. They couldn't get into the whole area because they were all locked in. They went up to the bottom of the floors. They dug into the ground, went up to the floors, and they said, we're going in to do the will of our master. The floors opened up, and they went inside the house. They came in from the floorboards inside the house. The floor opened up for all of them. But what did they do? They warned the Mitzrayim, you did this to the Jews, therefore we are going to kill you. And then they would jump inside the Mitzrayim's mouths. They would kill themselves if they were going down the throats. They'd have tchias amesim in the Mitzrayim's stomachs, and they would croak or bite their way out. That's what they ended up doing. Pretty good, no? They castrated them from the inside and from the outside, according to the Medrash. In both different ways, while they were in the bathroom, it says, there were others that went inside. Obviously, we know the ones that went into the ovens, right? They jumped into the ovens. They were the ones who sacrificed their lives. They had tchias amesim later on. They understood that this is what they were supposed to do. Crazy, absolutely crazy, what they did and how they did it. By the way, it's one thing for a frog to jump into my mouth and, like, you know, go into my stomach and then burst my stomach. That's one thing. From the talk to me while he's doing it. I'm a little freaked out by that. That'll be a little freaky.
For part of his name was Kermit.
No. If it was Kermit and he was doing it to me, I would 100% be freaked out. 100%. I think I would be more freaked out that the frog is going ahead and doing that. Paro had a golem in his palace. Paro had a little thing in his palace that looked like Saruman. It was a statue that looked exactly like Saruman. He had had it from the previous Paro who had Saruman in his bedroom. And obviously Saruman was taken away before he was able to do anything, right? She was taken out. But he made a picture. And he gave it to the Khartoum of Mitzrayim. The Khartoum made a golem that looked exactly like Saruman. And this was the wife of Paro, Ashes Paro, that he used to be together with. This is the this was what Paro had. The frogs immediately destroyed it, and that's what it means that they went into Chadar Mishkavecha, into the room of the bed of Paro. That's what they did. They went into there as well. What else do we have over here?
I have a question.
Oh yeah.
So like. I know a lot of times in the Torah, you learn, like, crazy stuff, and in the Gemara, you learn, like, all these, like, supernatural things, and a lot of times, most of it, like, a lot of times, it's just, like, symbolic for certain things. Like, I know most of this stuff is, like, literal. Like, are we supposed to take every single, like, all this stuff?
Do you want to answer that?
I think you do.
There was an idea behind Medrash. Medrash's purpose is not pshat. Shot means, here is a simple explanation, this is what happened. Medrash is to extrapolate. Take from the text what we need to show you what a Kadosh Baruch Hu was doing for them. Each one of these things was a punishment based on what they did to the Bnei Yisrael. Like castrating them because they wouldn't allow the Jews to be together with their wives, to be able to go inside the floors because even the floors understand that a Kadosh Baruch Hu rules the world. Like each one of these midrashim is trying to tell you that type of a lesson. Whether it actually happened, if you would go back in time and take your handy dandy time machine and go 88 miles an hour and go back into Mitzrayim and check out what was happening? I can't tell you exactly what was happening. This isn't a history book. What it's trying to tell you is something that you can learn from. And the idea is that each one of these midrashim, what you're trying to learn from them is something crazy. Something crazy that you can sit there and enjoy it while you're still doing it. That's the purpose of midrashim, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these midrashim in the first place. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to be here. So that's the idea behind it. You should know there's a very last thing, and this is pshat. The pasuk says at the very end when he davened for them, it says, "Rak bayor tisha'arna," that they're only going to remain, right over here in pasuk Zion, that they're only going to remain in the river. Says the Rabbeinu Hanano, quoted by the Ramban, this means that there will never be a crocodile that comes out of Mitzrayim's rivers in order to eat a person. Whenever you see a crocodile, the crocodile will either attack while they're in the river or when the person is near enough the river that they can still be in the river, but they will not leave the river. Rak bayor tisha'arna. That's what it's supposed to be.
Only in Mitzrayim.
That's what he says. That was the tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu did. Now, Rabbeinu Hanano says it as a guarantee. I tried looking this up. Crocodile attacks in Egypt. So I tried Googling it at one point. I got nothing. Absolutely nothing. For some reason, there hasn't been anything. Yeah, there are Nile crocodiles. There are definitely crocodiles there. No alligators, but there are crocodiles. But there is nothing. And there are no frogs there that have eaten anybody, you know, in the last... ever. So that never happened. You don't have to worry about that. But that was the idea behind it. There were dead frogs throughout the entire land. They all got sick and epidemics just sprouted out. They all sprung up from everything. They used to trip over the frogs and everything. Yeah, everything that you can imagine. I mean, they've got some crazy stuff over here. It says over here that the dough, that they bake the frogs in the dough because the frogs that went into the oven at Chias Mason, they came out into the dough. I mean, we have the little kids. We have, you see that frog going inside the guy's going out through the guy's mouth? There's a medrash that says that the frogs went in through the orifices, through the open areas of the Mitzrayim, and climbed through their body to come out through their mouths. That's what it's referring to. That's the medrash that he's referring to. He's just got crazy stuff, all the crazy things. Even the water turned into frogs. He's got one over there from the Medrash HaGadol. Absolutely crazy. Keenan.
What were the Jews doing like during all the plagues? Were they just pointing?
They weren't there. No, they weren't there. They were in Goshen. The Jews had no sheikhs to the city of Mitzrayim. Granted, there were Egyptians that lived in the other area. It's a huge country. It'd be like, the Jews are in Northbrook, which they are anyway, and the non-Jews are here, right, in Chicago proper. Like, we're far enough away that we don't really have any sheikhs to it. Yeah, there are some Egyptians that live out there that are also getting punished, but it wasn't to the extreme. It was a Jewish ghetto. They had a Jewish ghetto, so they weren't exactly involved with all that. Keenan. Miyamalei says there are 24 different types of lice. Kanan DeBelio says the 14 names of the different ones. He doesn't say the other 10. The smallest were tiny, tiny little creatures, but the biggest were 2 amos large. 2 amos. 2 amos is basically 3 feet. A louse that is 3 feet big that we're climbing over, and that's why you see them so big over here. It's supposed to be like so huge because they have like some of the lights were absolutely huge. They covered the entire ground to the point where an amma of the ground was lights. An amma of the ground. A full like amma all the way through. I'm sorry?
Like snow.
100%. During Kenan, Choshech ruled. For 7 days, there was darkness. All the entire time of the Makkah, there was darkness the entire time, the same way there was Choshech later on, but it was a different type of darkness. They could still move. And there were boils on the midstream as well. They got boils as well as the lice. They all came in together at exactly the time. It happened in 1 second. All of a sudden, they felt like Pigpen. You ever see those Snoopy comics? With Pigpen? You know what I'm talking about? The guy, he had like the dirt that's like behind him, wherever, and you felt like you were sitting in garbage for a full year in 1 second. It just covered all of Mitzrayim. The Baal HaTorim says it bit their faces and entered their bodies like arrows. All the mortar and the mud became Kenan, and it affected the animals as well. So if it came into their eyes, they were blinded. They would usually close their eyes, they would run into the water, but the water didn't affect them. The water either didn't affect the Kenan, or water ticks came up, water bugs came, and then surrounded the material while they were inside there.
They ate by a crocodile.
What? Oh, that's right. I didn't even think of the crocodiles. People rubbed up against the walls to be able to get rid of the Kenan until they started to bleed. They couldn't take it anymore, and then the ticks came. The ticks started to come to be able to take their blood. It was ridiculous. There's mamish nothing like it. The Malacca, oh, so the Egyptians tried to do this. The Khartoumim tried to get involved in these magics. They tried to bring about Kenan in their own way. Here's the problem. Number one, the only way Kishuf works, the only way magic works, according to Sefer HaChassidim on page Shin Chaf Beis, is if you're standing on the ground. You have to have your feet on the ground in order for magic to happen. If you're not standing on the ground, you don't have any magic. The magic doesn't work. So you must be standing with your 2 feet on the ground. And they couldn't. Why couldn't they? The land is filled with light. So they couldn't do anything that way. So they couldn't do Lahatam, which is a type of magic. So they tried calling on the Shadim. And they asked the Shadim to bring it for them. It's called Latehem, without the hay. Can you bring it to us instead? Can you bring us all these different types of kingdom? The problem is that Shadim cannot gather things together that are less than the size of an adosha, of a lentil bean. And Kenan normally, even though there were some huge ones, they normally start off as something that's less than a lentil bean. So therefore, they couldn't do anything whatsoever. There was no way for the Khartoumim to do it, and that's why they said there's an Etzba Elokim. The Yalkut Ruvani says that those who said Etzba Elokim, that is the finger of God, became the Erev Rav. Those are the people later on that became the Erev Rav. They were the people that were there. There was dirt below the Amma of Kenan. I mean, there was an Amma of Kenan, right? Like a foot and a half of lice all the way through. But it went through. You know what they ask? This is a famous question. Yaakov Avinu, why wasn't he buried in Eretz Mitzrayim? 3 reasons. Number one, he didn't want to be treated like a god. Number two, he didn't want to have to do Gilgal Mechilos. When Tchias Meisim happened, he didn't want to have to roll in the ground to Eretz Yisrael. And the third reason?
He didn't want to be affected by lice.
By Kenan. Why would that affect him? The Kenan only took up an Amma of the land. But it wouldn't take up all the way. But it went an Amma into the land, says the Gemara. So if it only went an Amma into the land, then why do you have to worry? You're not buried an Amma into the ground. You're buried all the way down. So what do you have to worry about? You know, what kind of a worry was there? What issue was there?
Maybe they didn't bury them so deeply.
Sarcophagi still were buried in the ground. If they were pharaohs and they were very chashuv, then they buried them outside. But if you go to Mitzrayim even nowadays, outside the pyramids are still graveyards. They still have graveyards. They buried them inside the ground. They just didn't always. If you were very, very chashuv, they made a pyramid over you. But, I mean, you go through Mitzrayim, it's not like you have 550,000 pyramids, you know, going around like, oh man, that guy and that guy. They still buried them inside the ground. So why didn't it happen? So they give a bunch of different answers. One of the answers that I heard just this past year, one of the one that sticks with me is from Ramosha Feinstein. Ramosha Feinstein says that it was not chashuv to be in the land of Mitzrayim. If it was, even if it was just an Amma of Kenan, to be in land that's known as Kenan. People didn't always reach all the way down to the ground to see how far the Kenan went. People might have thought that the Kenan went all the way down, that it was just all Kenan all the way down. And if it was Kenan all the way down, then it would affect Yaakov. You know, Yaakov didn't want to be known as that, so therefore he didn't do it. Aro. See all this? The animals came with the land that they were on. He brings in the gorilla came with its jungle. The polar bear came with the Arctic with it. The leopard and the cheetah and the hyena and the lion came with like the grasslands and everything like that. The reason why is because an animal feels more comfortable when they're in their own territory, when they're in their area, when they feel. So Akadosh Baruch Hu brought not only them, but the land that they were on as well, said they'd be able to be there. There was a siren, the Sefer HaYashar brings down, that this huge creature that's known as an octopus came out from the sea, lifted out its arms, and started tearing the houses apart that the animals would be able to get in, because they locked themselves in. The animals took over the babies, and that's what you see over here. They started taking over, and there was another animal that they don't describe over here. There's an animal called... I'm sorry? No, because no fish were involved in this. They actually asked, when did the fish come into play? And they say by Tsvardea, there were fish that came into play. All the animals that, you know, that live in the sea, they came out of the sea during Tsvardea. That's what it's supposed to be. Regardless, there was another animal called the Adnea Sada. We know nothing about this creature except it was attached by its belly button to a cord in the ground. So like some type of an... It was like a plant, but it was a dangerous creature. It was a dangerous Venus flytrap that killed people. It's called the Boromitz, according to Maisa Tovia Rofe. So the Boromitz, he said that he saw one in Territoria Hagadola in Africa. Territoria Hagadola happens to be, if you look in a regular map, it's the western, like Sudan. If you look where Sudan is, that's where Sudan is supposed to be. If you ever watched Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, it's around that area. That's supposed to be Territoria Hagadola. That's what it was originally. And it's supposed to be this huge area that has all these things. Aside from that, it wasn't just those types of animals. There were more. There was, where do I have it over here? Gnats, flies, hornets, fleas, and mice. That also came by in the Tanakh and destroyed them. That's the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says lions and tigers and bears. There you go, and everything like that. And that's the one that came in. So that you all have. What else?
What was the symbolism of the beasts?
Of each one of the beasts? It's supposed to be unbelievable. Aru literally means irvutia, a mixture, right? Normally, these animals don't get along with one another. You think the cheetah works out well with the hyena?
There are probably cats there with the mice.
Oh, the cats are working with the rats. You see it right there. The lion's not looking at the rats, although those eyes might be... No, the eyes are up a little bit. He's looking up there. He's not looking at the rats. They worked together. The animals all knew what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, that if a person would realize that if you're doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, you can work together to make things happen, everything will be all good. That was the idea behind it, and that's what Aruv was supposed to represent. It was a mixture of all the animals together, working together all as one, to destroy the Mitzrayim and take everybody down. The Medrash HaGadol brings down the scariest one, though. Medrash HaGadol says that there were domestic animals that came to bite them. Now, he brought down like a little ox. That was the domestic animal that he had. It was a sheep. Little Fluffy the dog. Little Fluffy the dog was sitting in your house, and you're sitting there, and you're like, boarded in, you're like, okay, things are okay, the octopus is over there right now. I think we're going to be okay. And all of a sudden, Fluffy went up to you, started biting your hand. Fluffy started going up to you. You had a pet, I don't know, you had a pet cat, you had a pet dog, you had a pet lizard, let's say. Anything. They started biting you. It started going everywhere. Yeah, all your pets started going up against you, your sheep and your goats. You ever look at a cow? You ever see a cow? Like they're standing. They are the scariest creatures I've ever seen before in my life. They are honestly scary. They're huge. They look like they can knock you over and kill you with one jump. I mean, it's like...
This is the octopus?
That's the octopus.
Did water come with him? How
no.
How did he survive out of the water?
The Sefer HaYashar says they stayed in the water, and their arms were so long they were able to reach the houses in the Mitzrayim. That's the wording of the Sefer HaYashar. He took liberties of this one, and he wanted to put it over here, and he put it all in there. That's pretty crazy, right? I don't know why the Sefer HaYashar brings that down, why he brings that down. That's something that I wouldn't be able to answer. Like, what the purpose of the octopus was, to be able to get inside. That had absolutely no idea.
There's still like stinky, decaying frogs around when this all
happened? No, by that time they had already cleaned them up or they were eaten. A lot of the Aruv actually took care of most of those things. By the way, you know what the word octopus is in ancient Hebrew? It's smanunim. Smanunim. So if anybody asks you, there you go. Dether. What happened in Dether? Some of the animals died so suddenly during Dether that the riders that were on the chariots that they were riding fell down with them and they also died. That's what this is right over here. The riders themselves fell with the horses that were pulling them because the horses just sat down and died in the middle of nowhere. Sicknesses spread throughout all the people so that the people themselves became extremely, extremely sick. Vultures and hawks and all these different types of creatures came in and started eating all the animals and started getting involved, and there was pestilence everywhere. Everybody's around. Says the Sefer HaYashar, 90% of the animals died. 90% of the animals in Mitzrayim died. That does give you 10%. That's pretty good. You still have the horses, and you still have a couple animals that are left by Barad. But you had 90% of the animals that died. Just absolutely crazy what would happen over there. Then, we're not going to be able to do all of this. Oh, Shin is over here. Shin is a scary. You don't want to look at this.
He always makes it dark.
By those three mountains. Right, because he puts them together between Kenan, Shin, and Hosheth. He puts the three in darkness because all three of them were supposed to be connected with one another. It really is crazy. This guy did an unbelievable job. Shin came back and snakes came back. Their pecs were also affected by Shin and the Kenim, and everything all together as one. Even Shin is boils. Not only that, it affected the houses of Mitzrayim. Said there were holes in the houses. You know how Saras can affect the houses, and there was leprosy in the houses themselves? It's the exact same thing by Shin. It went throughout the entire idea, and everything was there. It was, Lo Yachlamo, the Chartumim couldn't be there. The Miamloi says they weren't allowed to bathe. They had such open sores, and the Shin was all over their body, and it was dry on the inside, wet on the outside. It's the Gemara in Bava Kama that says on a Peyam of days that it was dry on the inside, lach on the outside. They had nothing to do. Their bodies started to rot from all the boils around their bodies. It started to rot, and it stunk up all of Mitzrayim. Paro had this maka worse than any other. Shin affected Paro more than it did any other Mitzri. He had Shin all over his body and never had that. The reason why, there's another measure that's brought down by the previous Paro, how the previous Paro died. The previous Paro died by a crazy, crazy story where he got in a tremendous amount of tzaras. He went out to go see the Jews and how they were working. He fell down and he sat rotting in the streets because they couldn't recognize him because he had so much leprosy. Rotting in the streets until he died. That's a famous medrash. Either way, but Shin stayed with them for the rest of their lives. They kept some of the boils on their bodies for the rest of their lives until they went down. Barad scared the living daylights out of them. Aside from the lightning and the thunder was just constant. Think of constant thunder. Constant thunder. You know that huge, like, boom. Think of boom every single minute of every single day. Every single day. For one whole week. Well, they stopped it a little bit early for 6 days. 6 days altogether because Paro went to Moshe, remember, and said to him, you have to stop this. We can't take this anymore. It was killing them. It never rains in Mitzrayim. Never rains in Mitzrayim. They'd never seen rain, let alone snow, let alone hail, made of ice and fire. They couldn't imagine such a thing. That's why the Pasuk says, all of my plagues against you. They never imagined that there was such a thing like this, that there could be such a thing like this. Aside from that, you see the little hail over here? It targeted the Mitzrayim. It went straight after the Egyptians, like these little heat missiles, you know, that get attracted by heat, the heat-seeking missiles. That's what they ended up doing. They found the Mitzrayim, found where they were, and went and destroyed them. What else it was? Sparks of fire flew up and lit up the sky. That's what he says over here and all those little things. Some of the baru was very, very huge. Very, very huge. There was ice involved as well, which meant that when it hit the ground, it immediately made a fire. And then ice spread out all over so that people slipped into the fire and died. It was just unbelievable stuff. Absolutely unbelievable stuff. And that's in a land that had never seen rain before and never has seen rain since then. Because the Nile River is the only source of any type of food or anything else in Mitzrayim. The Nile goes down, all of Mitzrayim goes down. That's what they understood. And there was no rain. There's no way. It's still a desert area, Mitzrayim. The Nile River is the only thing that changes it, but it's a desert area. That was the idea of Hanbarit. So that's the first seven makos. Each one of these makos are just you can't imagine what's there. And Chazal say, we've only seen Ditzach Adash Be'achav of all the makos. There's still the full Dam that hasn't happened yet. The full Svardeya has not happened yet. The full Kenan for the enemies of the Jews that are supposed to be punished at the end of days, they're going to see the full Makkah. They're going to get the full blast. This is just a touch. This is just the Rashi Tavos of the Makkos that happened there in Mitzrayim. The rest of it is going to happen last at Lavo, and it's going to be awesome to watch. Of course, you don't want anybody to die. Just to watch it happen. Oh, yeah, that's what it happens for now. But that's it. Yeah. Yeah. No, Rosh Hashanah, his voice back then. What? Yeah, first seven. Yeah.